Hey there, guys and gals, all you hep cats, cool kittens, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. Welcome back to another great episode of the Diesel Punk Podcast. I am your host, the time-traveling, comic-book-loving, prophet of pop culture, the voice of Diesel Punk, the artist also known as the Bamboozlist, Big Daddy Cool, but you can call me Johnny. That's right, John Pica is in the house, and I am coming to you live from the Houdini Room at the Casa de Cool in fabulous Viva Nash Vegas. And on this episode of the Diesel Punk Podcast, I am going to be talking about some upcoming movie releases, some news from pop culture, and, of course, our Essentials Diesel Punk Library segment. Before we do that, if you're watching live on Facebook, make sure you post a comment, give us a thumbs up, post a heart, let us know you're watching. So, for those of you listening on iTunes, this first segment may be a little bit boring because you're not going to get to see what I'm showing our live audience. There have been a number of board games that have come out in the last few months, in the last 6 months, with a distinctively Diesel Punk aesthetic. Now, granted, the most Diesel Punk board game to ever be created is Scythe by Stonemaier Games, but there are a lot of others that have great appeal to our Diesel Punk brothers and sisters. And why would they be considered Diesel Punk games? Because they have the aesthetics of the era. They have the artwork and the layout and the characters that have the style and aesthetic of the Diesel era, the 1920s through the 1950s, early 50s. And they deal with science fiction and fantasy and in this case, horror. And because, you know, we are in a digital society, devoting yourself to playing analog games is a little bit of a punk thing to do. It is fighting against the status quo of contemporary culture. The more digital we become, the more Diesel Punks crave analog. So board games is a way that you can push back, rebel, be a lowlife against the contemporary culture. Some people out there will say that I'm stretching it a little bit. I know that Robert Brown has been having a discussion on the Atomic Punks Facebook group about what punk means. And basically, the early etymology of punk, and we've talked about this on the podcast before with Larry Amiet, was originally, you know, a derogatory term. And it was, you know, designed to describe lowlifes. Larry Amiet had talked about on the podcast previously that punk is kind of the disrespectable. And that's why science fiction and fantasy tend to fall into or be tenants of Diesel Punk, because in Hollywood, science fiction is still not really respected as a high art genre. And so that's why so many of the Diesel Punk properties have that science fiction and fantasy. That's why we include it as a tenant. You know, Robert has been talking about how, you know, it's, disrespectful, low lifes. Well, and so his argument was because that's what punk is, the current retro punks aren't really punk at all. And my buddy John Wilson made a great point that when you dress up and you adopt vintage styles and vintage values, that is actually rebelling against the status quo counterculture, and that is in and of itself being countercultural. I agree. That's why I wear a hat or a fedora everywhere I go. When I leave the house, I will be wearing a button-down shirt and probably a tie, if not a jacket or a waistcoat, every single day, regardless of the temperature. Now, before we get to these board games, I want to show our live audience something that I discovered. So I'm going to stand up here. Guys, this is a pant. These are slacks from a company called Dip, D-I-P. These are microfiber stretch material chinos that feel, when you're wearing them, like sweatpants. But they look like dress pants. They're super flexible, super comfortable, lightweight. They wick away moisture. You can get them, actually, believe it or not, at Kroger. But look up the brand Dip. If you're looking, guys, for something that you can wear to be, you know, stylish yet comfortable and look finished and not look like a bum wearing the national uniform of cargo shorts and flip-flops, check out these awesome microfiber flex pants by Dip, D-I-P. All right, we're going to dive right into this with our board games that I have discovered. A lot of board games are coming out. The first off is Horrified, and this is a game dealing with the Universal Monsters. That's right, from the 30s, from the 20s, 30s, and 40s, the Universal movie monsters, Frankenstein, Dracula, the Bride of Frankenstein, the Invisible Man, the Mummy, and this is a cool little game. I'm going to dig up the ingredients here, components. I love this. On the actual board, as you are unfolding it, there is a warning that you might be horrified. What I love about this game, and I'm just now opening it, but the reviews have been great, is that every game is different because you play as different characters every time you play it. And every character has completely different scenarios. And look at this beautiful board. So this is the gorgeous, beautiful board, this town that you are going to navigate. And it's just gorgeous artwork. Hold it up to the camera. You can see just how gorgeous that is. And I'm not going to pull out the individual components. I'm going to do a review of this individually later on, probably this week, after I've had a chance to play test it with my board game group. Also, I picked up this week, this is a game that came out a few months ago called Tower of Madness. And this is a Cthulhu-themed game that is a lot of fun. It's basically Kerplunk with a Cthulhu theme. So you get these, you build this tower, and in the tower you have these tentacles and these sticks that you interweave, and you drop the marbles in. And you remember in Kerplunk, you pull the sticks out, and the one that causes all the marbles to fall, that they lost. And in this game, the opposite is true. You want marbles to fall because marbles represent different things, and there's some rolls of the dice, and it's just a really cool Cthulhu-based board game that I think has remarkable repeat playability. And I can't wait for my board game group to come over and check this out. Now, I know a lot of steampunks claim H.P. Lovecraft and Cthulhu, but the fact of the matter is, he was writing in the early, he was writing during the Diesel era, and, most of the Cthulhu material has a Diesel punk aesthetic. The stories are generally set in the 30s, the 20s, 30s, or 40s, and there's a great shadow story called The Shadow at Innsmouth, which is a great shadow-based Cthulhu story. So, a couple of Diesel Punk board games for you Diesel Punk board gamers out there. Check out Tower of Madness and Horrified. And I will be doing full reviews and playthrough reviews of these in the coming weeks. Now, Diesel Punk and pop culture. Just this morning, on my news feed, this is more along the lines of history, but it kind of delves into the world of fantasy and the punk aspects because of the mystery surrounding this story from history. And I am talking about Amelia Earhart. And this morning on the National Geographic website, there is a news story that the man who discovered the Titanic, Robert Ballard, who was the inspiration for the character played by, what's his name in Titanic? What is wrong with my brain this week? I've been having these brain cramps. That'll come to me in a minute. Preston, not Robert Preston. Anyway, doesn't matter. Robert Ballard is the real guy who discovered the Titanic. And he has gone on a search for Amelia Earhart's Lockheed Electra, the plane that disappeared in July 1937 while attempting to become the first woman to fly around the world. And you can, I'll post a link to this story on the Facebook page. But Amelia Earhart was kind of like a tech junkie, and seeing the pictures from the vehicle that is going through the ocean looking for the remnants and the wreckage, and they're looking for things that stand out, looking for colors on the heat signature that shouldn't be there. But you see the picture of the ship's command center, and it is super high tech. You remember from the Titanic, they had that whole high-tech command center on the ship. And this is kind of the same thing here. So they are doing a search, according to this story, his ship, the EV Nautilus, is in the waters off of Nicomororo, an isolated ring of coral in the Pacific Ocean. And it's a ring of coral and sand surrounding a turquoise lagoon, only 4.5 miles long and 1.5 miles wide. The island appears on most maps as a mere speck in the vast Pacific Ocean. And, of course, there are various theories about where Amelia's plane landed, and some are a little wild. Some people say that, you know, they ended up in the Marshall Islands, some say Spain, or even New Jersey, and others that the plane crashed and sank. There's one story that Amelia Earhart landed and was captured by the Japanese and lived out the rest of her life in anonymity in Japan. So this is a really cool story. And, you know, the guy who found the Titanic, he's going for a search for Amelia Earhart's Lockheed Electra. And hopefully we will get some answers on what happened to Amelia Earhart. Now, is that diesel punk? The story of Amelia Earhart is not diesel punk, surely. And the search for her plane is not diesel punk, but it is of interest to us who have an affection for the diesel era. You know, the mystery around Amelia Earhart has spawned so many stories that are part of the diesel punk mythos. And so it makes perfect sense that we would be talking about this on the podcast. Somewhere in New Guinea in the Pacific Ocean is where she would have vanished. So anyway, that's kind of cool. We'll post a link on the Facebook page and you can check out that story for the hunt for Amelia Earhart on your own. Wow, this episode has gone by really quick, and I've already talked about the definition of punk. I've talked about some board games that are in the diesel punk aesthetic that if you're a diesel punk board gamer, you're going to love. And let me just backtrack on that for a minute. If you are not doing a board game night with your friends, I'm going to recommend that you do it. We as retro punks, we tend to tilt towards the analog, but it is a great way to maintain physical connection with your friends and your circle of friends. As we have become more connected through Facebook and social media, we've become more disconnected as people. And so I want to encourage you, host a game night And go get some games. If you don't know where to start, start with Sorry or Monopoly. They were created during the Diesel era. And if you need more suggestions, just check out our Diesel Punk Podcast game reviews on YouTube on Big Daddy Cool Shows, BDC TV. And we've posted some of those here on the Facebook page as well. But Horrified, Tower Madness, Scythe, Net, Unexploded Cow, Stuff and Nonsense, King of Tokyo. These are great games, perfect for Diesel Punk Game Night. Ooh, Good Critters. I reviewed that just a couple of weeks ago. What a great game that is. You're playing mafia bosses and anthropomorphic animal characters. It's great. All right, so let's talk about your Diesel Punk Essential Library. This has become a regular feature for us every week where I share things that I think need to be in your library if you are a Diesel Punk. And for the most part, my leaning is towards movies and graphic novels. I do have some books on the shelf that I will be sharing in coming weeks. But for the most part, Diesel Punk is a visual genre. So I tend to lean towards movies and graphic novels first. So this is maybe the first Diesel Punk on TV. In the early 80s, ABC TV wanted to capitalize on the Raiders of the Lost Ark, and they put out Tales of the Gold Monkey. Now, this was only just released on DVD last year, but you can get the entire set. And you might have trouble finding it because it stars Stephen Collins, and you know he's been in trouble lately. We won't go into that. But Jake the dog is the little Jack Russell Terrier with an eye patch. And my little dog Diva loves to watch this with me because she loves Jake. And when I say, hey Diva, let's go watch Jake the dog, she jumps up and she runs into my office or into the bedroom to watch Tales of the Gold Monkey. It's not great, but it's really good. And it's a good representation of where Diesel Punk was in its foundation in the 80s, after Raiders of the Lost Ark. And it's a fun watch. A lot of cool Diesel Punky stuff in Tales of the Gold Monkey. It is what I would consider the first true Diesel Punk television series. So that's part of your essential Diesel Punk library. Go find it on Amazon or at Walmart. This is where I got it. All right, continuing with our Diesel Punk Essentials library. And speaking of Raiders of the Lost Ark, and Eric Fisk just joined us. I guess he got wherever he was going and has internet again. Speaking of Raiders of the Lost Ark and Tales of the Gold Monkey, along the same lines, you have got to have Half Past Danger. And this is Stephen Mooney's Half Past Danger, Dames, Dinosaurs, and Danger. Ooh. This is basically Indiana Jones, Captain America, the Black Widow, and a rogue ninja fighting Nazis during World War II, trying to keep them from weaponizing dinosaurs. And Steve Mooney's artwork is fantastic. The whole story is great. And if one volume weren't good enough, he did volume 2, Dead to Rikes. And volume 2 completed the story as far as we know. I would be surprised if they did a volume 3, but you never can tell. These are hardcover editions that you can get at your local comic book shop or on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, but I recommend you go to your local comic book shop. Ask them to get Half Past Danger and Half Past Danger 2 in hardcover if they don't already have them. They're about $40 a piece, but this is a true Diesel Punk essential graphic series. It was a series of individual comics, then they bundled them together, put some extra content in the hardcovers, but you need this sitting on your bookshelf in your Dieselpunk Essential library. One last Dieselpunk Essential, another graphic novel. This is a collection called Wild Blue Yonder. And this is for you post-apocalyptic Dieselpunk fans. And that's what's going on here. Basically, there's been some apocalyptic event, and the ground has become inhabitable for people to live on. And so they've taken to the skies to live in airship. And, well, here, just the first page, the splash page, gives you an idea. The lead character is Cola, and she's a young pilot who wants to defeat the Baron, who is creating or is controlling the skyways. This is a phenomenal series. And, you know, I only show things that I think are really worthwhile. I don't show things just to show them on the show. I like to show you guys things that are really, really great. And Wild Blue Yonder is one of those things. Now, I'm looking for the full team. It's by Rake, Howard, Daniel, and Harrison. Wild Blue Yonder, along with Half Past Danger 1 and 2. Man, these are heavy to hold in one hand. Need to be in your Dieselpunk Essential Library. All right. Well, that's all I have to share this week. But we got some good movies coming up. 1917. If you haven't seen the trailer yet, it looks phenomenal. It's a suicide mission to stop the army from going in to be massacred. And looks really great. Historical drama. And there's another World War II heroic movie coming out, and I cannot remember the name of it. I was looking it up for my notes. We mentioned it a couple of weeks ago when I was looking up the cast of Iron Sky. I tripped across it, and I'm going to hopefully find that again, and we'll talk about that again on a future episode. But we got 1917 to look forward to in the theater, and some great reading that I've recommended to you. Pick up Tales from the Gold Monkey from Walmart or Amazon. We got the board games Horrified and Tower of Madness for your Dieselpunk game night. And if that weren't enough, you can come see me do my Dieselpunk magic at House of Cards in Nashville if you're in the area, or here at the Casa de Cool. The other side of the room is going to be set up as a performance theater. We've got enough room for 10 people. We're going to be doing it next Tuesday night and next Thursday night. So if you are in the Nashville area and you would like to see the Bamboozlist Big Daddy Cool lay down a smoking groove so cool it'll make you flip your lid, come check out my magic live from the Houdini Room next Tuesday and Thursday night. While you're at it, check out Patreon. Patreon.com/BigDaddyCoolShows. You can help support our podcasts, our live theater projects, by donating $1 or $2 a month. That's all we're asking, $1 or $2 a month, and that will go a long way to supporting quality Dieselpunk programming. You can also contribute every month at dieselpunkpodcast.com. And finally, I mentioned Magic Subscription Box. They're our sponsor again this week. MagicSubscriptionBox.com. Use my promo code BDCMagic, and that gets you 50% off. They deliver a magic shop to your mailbox every month. So if you want to learn magic and create your own Dieselpunk performance art, check out MagicSubscriptionBox.com. It's an easy, easy way to learn, and everything that comes in the box is professional grade quality. You will love it. All right, guys and gals, that is it for this week's episode of the Dieselpunk Podcast. Make sure you send us a note. Let us know what you think. Feedback@DieselpunkPodcast.com. And until the next time, tell 200-300 of your closest friends and family to come join the fun. And until the next time, we'll catch you on the flip side.